One of the best ways to make a profitable brand is to establish yourself as an authority. I've learned this a long time ago, and this is what you'll consistently hear in the marketplace. But how do you do that exactly? How do you create an authoritative brand, and how do you establish yourself to separate yourself from all your competition out there? So today on The Ambition Show, we'll identify the best platforms to establish your brand as an authority. And you can start as soon as you finish this episode, so let's get it. So what's good, everybody? So first, what we're going to establish is what exactly is an authoritative brand? Why is it important? What goes into it exactly? How do you develop one, right? And then the best platforms to establish that authoritative brand, the platforms that will help you get the brand to the level of where people believe in you and trust in what you have to say, and more importantly, what you're offering them, right? What separates you from your competitors? What separates you from your competitors, your contemporaries? Because at the end of the day, keep in mind, this is business. It's about competition. It's about differentiating yourself from your competitors. So what is brand authority, right? Jumping right into it. Brand authority, it really refers to how likely a customer, right, is to view your company as a trustworthy source of information. So basically, do I trust not only what you have to say, what you have to do, but I come to you as a resource, right, for that knowledge, for that information, for whatever it may be. And this is extremely important because the more people trust your brand and trusting what you're going to deliver them, the more they're going to come back. Let's just keep it a beat. They're going to come back to you. They're going to refer to you as a source of information. They're going to refer to you as a source of the best product and service. They trust what they're going to get from you. That's why I say it's all about the trustworthiness of your brand. For example, let's just say you are a sports, apparel store, right? And you share some information, you share some statistics about sports injuries online. Customers are more likely to trust the statistics, the data, the information that you share, right? As opposed to others, because they know, oh, it came from this store. So I have an already heightened level of trust that what they have to say, what they have to share, right, is something that not only can I say is the truth, but most importantly, and this is where brand authority really comes into play. This is where it turns into kind of that brand equity. We'll go over brand equity in a minute, but this is where it turns into that level of the value of it monetarily, right? Is that now I'm so, let's just say, I trust your brand so much, I'm willing to share with everybody else and tell everybody else, hey, listen to this. This is what they have to say. That's why when you hear people say according to, and they're referencing something, they're referencing a magazine, they're referencing an author, they're referencing a blog. It's because of that. It's that brand authority piece. And that is what you want, right? This is why it's important. Think of Apple, Microsoft, Google. These companies have high brand authority, right? These are why they're the most valuable brands. The logo of Nike is not valuable because it's a cool looking logo. It's a cool logo. It's a very simplistic logo too, right? So to my people from a design standpoint, for you guys who are developing brands, keep that in mind. It doesn't have to be the craziest, the most vibrant and all over the place. You know what I mean? Like eye-catching logo in the sense of colors and designs and, aesthetics. It can be something very simple. It's what's behind that logo, right? It's what's beyond the logo that establishes that brand authority, it creates the brand authority in you, right? It builds that trust level. Because if Nike is talking about something when it comes to sports science, everyone listens because think of what they've established themselves as. They are the apparel of champions, right? If Nike steals that, sidebar, if Nike steals that, the apparel of champions, I'm coming for them. Because I can't say their slogan, but if they say mine, it's on and popping. Just let you know that. Just put it out there. I know copyright law. This is the first time I've heard that term. I'm using it. I totally went on a side tangent. Sorry about that. You guys know that I do this. Anyway, but to establish yourself as an authority means that your audience truly trusts you. You have to build that trust. Now, how do we build that trust? How do we make it happen? And then we go into the platforms that helps them do it. But this is what brand authority really means. Brand authority is all about building that relationship to where that customer, that consumer base, that audience, however you want to call it, they trust what you're publishing. They trust what you're doing. They trust what you produce. They trust what you do. They trust it to the level that not only do they take it in as this is the truth, or I can take this in as fact, they're willing to share it. They're willing to tell their friends, right? And this is what gets that content engagement. Now we're talking about content engagement. Then we're going to talk about platforms, okay? We come right back. We're going to hit on the platforms that will help you establish that brand authority and the best process to get you to that brand authority. We come right back. So the best platforms to establish your brand, to develop brand authority. I had to think about that one for a second because a lot of people think like it's just the platform. Just, oh, any platform. As long as I'm on Instagram, I'm on Pinterest, I'm on this and that, the other. No, it's about the audience, right? And that's when we get into the process, we'll talk about the audience. Platforms are, to be honest with you, a dime a dozen. A platform could be anything from, you know, LinkedIn to Quora to Reddit, to a podcast. It doesn't really matter about that per se, right? In other words, the platform that you select is really supposed to be based on the audience and what they consume the most. Now, don't get me wrong. Everyone's doing a podcast. Clearly, you're listening to a podcast, right? Right? Here's the funny thing about it. Me doing the podcast has nothing to do with the popularity of podcasts, right? It's all about I took the opportunity to start my podcast that I've been wanting to do for years, actually. And the same thing goes for our YouTube content that I wanted to do for years, but you know, trying to balance corporate work, you know, doing freelance work, doing the side hustles, that kind of stuff. And I've decided to focus more. And this actually will help you with your brand authority. Right? When you're honest about your story and you're honest when you get on the platform that best conveys the message that you're trying to deliver. And that's what it's all about. Because if you're on the platform that you're confident in, if you're on the platform that you enjoy the most, if you're on the platform that you know you can create the best content for, or the content that you enjoy creating the most, because that shines through, right? You can hear through my voice right now that one, I love what I'm talking about, right? I love and enjoy what I'm speaking about. Like, I can talk about this. I can have discussions about this. I can write about this. I can create videos on this all day, all day, because this is what I love to do. And that passion is going to shine through. And that's what comes out in your authoritative content. Because people know that it's coming from a genuine place. It's coming from a place of your expertise. It's coming from a place like people say, oh, I know this like the back of my hand, right? That's like that old school term, is because literally you've put so many hours, you've put in those 10,000 reps, you've put in that time and that energy that you know what you're talking about. But you should always have facts, you should always have references, you should always reinforce what you're talking about, right? Don't just shoot from the hip. Don't just shoot from the hip, as I used to do all the time in college with my business presentations, and my professors were shocked that it was actually a good presentation because that was a natural thing for me, because I loved business so much, right? I didn't create a script. I just did it because I knew the content that I was producing. This is why choosing the platform that's strongest for you, but also the platform that's strongest for your content or the type of content that you like to develop helps you connect and communicate better with that audience. So, great platforms to establish a fantastic relationship with your target audience. Clearly YouTube, because almost everybody goes to YouTube for something. Don't let anyone discourage you. Now, don't get me wrong. YouTube, the higher video counts is mostly for entertainment, right? Let's just be real. So that's why people go there for music videos. People go there for mindless entertainment. Let's just be real. That's why you'll always see videos that are about music or, you know, comedy or something. You know, one of the most famous, if not the most famous channel, Mr. Beast, right? It has been one of the most famous channels, if not the most famous channel, for years now. Mr. Beast, almost every video is in the millions. Almost every video. If I'm not mistaken, every video might be in the millions by Mr. Beast. Right? Almost every video, if not every video, is in the millions. But that doesn't mean YouTube, if your content isn't like Mr. Beast, which it should not be because he has his own thing, you have your own thing, it should be on YouTube. Because YouTube is one of the most, if not the most widely used platform when it comes to consuming video content. But of course, you have TikTok, right? TikTok is short form video. YouTube has shorts, but short form video is taking over. Short form video is doing very, very, very well. But there's other types of content. What if it is, once again, auditory? What if it's audio? What if it's a podcast? You can have a video podcast. Of course, you should have a video podcast. There is a video podcast to this. Another great way of establishing authority, though, in the sense of references and education, is to create courses, right? Or to create content that educates people on a specific platform or on a specific skill set or area, subject matter. So platforms like Udemy, where you're going to create a course, or a platform like SlideShare, where you might not create a full course, you might just have snippets of a course, right? You might just share presentations about topics, or Quora, where you share, this is what I do quite often. You should find me on Quora, and that's spelled Q-U-O-R-A, Quora. If you're not on there, you should definitely jump on. I answer questions daily on Quora, right? And I share the videos on YouTube. I've been doing this for years. It's one great way to set up and establish not only authority, but also just to get really good feedback, right, from your target audience and where your target audience is. And we're going to go into the process. And then finally, Reddit. Reddit is, of course, a great platform where people consume information all the time, daily, day in, day out. It's a great place to share your knowledge and share your expertise in specific spaces. Also, there's LinkedIn Publishing and there's Medium. Right, and I'm going to go into blogs in a minute because a lot of people still sleep on blogs and I don't know why. It ain't going nowhere, but these are kind of those micro blogs, right? We used to have back in the day, or Blogger or Tumblr. So it's sort of like a micro blog, right? But fantastic communities are on there. And especially if you're working in B2B, so if you're doing business-to-business work, LinkedIn Publishing, you should not be sleeping on. You should be publishing articles. You should be sharing your content there, transcribing your podcast. Once again, like I said, the platform doesn't necessarily dictate, right? It's just a matter of what connects best with that audience. But if you're looking at establishing yourself in an educational level, if you're looking at establishing yourself as a reference point, if you're not doing LinkedIn Publishing and sharing that information out, you're missing out vastly. So some of the best platforms, number one, you want to know, we'll get into the process. I'm not going to jump ahead, but just some of the best platforms: YouTube, TikTok, Medium, LinkedIn Publishing, Quora, Reddit, any podcast, right? Don't get wrapped up into, oh my God, I need to be, you know, an Anchor or Podbean or, you know, Lisbon or what. Get the podcast done. Get it done. Get it out there. Produce it. Publish it, right? Don't get wrapped up into that. Get the podcast out there, right? Let's just consider that the platform in general. Udemy, SlideShare, and there's a lot of other courses. There's a lot of other platforms for courses as well, but those are some of the biggest out there, and those are some of the most go-to for a lot of consumers. So when we come back, let's go over the process, right? The steps in building brand authority when we come back. As we're back, so we went over what exactly an authoritative brand is, right? It's that trustworthy built-in relationship that you have to develop, right? You have to create. And it comes from really a straightforward process. And the funny thing is that the process is not different no matter who you are. It's more so the execution of where, not so much what, right? How and where, but not what. What has to be done is the same across every single business, every single entrepreneur. It's where you do it. Maybe some of the, you know, some of the specifics of how you do it, but what has to be done, the steps that have to be taken, is not changing, right? So talked about the platforms. That's why I said I didn't want to get too far ahead. And talking about the platforms, any entrepreneur and small business owner can build brand authority. Okay, using the steps that we're going to go over now, because the same thing we've seen from the most, I mean, we're talking, I brought up Nike, Apple, Microsoft. It's always the same. And if you're going into this trying to reinvent the wheel, right, which a lot of people do, they're like, oh, I don't want to do it the way that guy did it, or the way that company did it, or the way that CEO, the way she did it. Don't worry about trying to reinvent the wheel, right? The wheel is still around. The wheel has not been, there's thousands of variations of it, right? Size, texture, what is best for and the way you drive, all that stuff. But nobody's reinventing the thing because they're like, hey, it works. There's no need to reinvent it, right? And that's where we get in our way a lot of times as entrepreneurs. So if you follow these steps, you don't have to worry about that. You don't create more work for yourself. Work smarter, not harder. I'm a firm believer in this. And if you pay attention to the people who are not only successful in their business, but they enjoy what they're doing, they enjoy the process. There's a great book about focusing on enjoying the process, right? I brought this book up in past episodes, but even though it's not the book of this episode, I'll talk about it at the end a little bit, because it's a very important principle of enjoying the process. The more you enjoy the process, right, the more you focus on the process and you create a process that can be easily, replicated, and you can scale it out. It takes a lot of work off your back. And most importantly, you start to enjoy the outcomes more, because you get there. You're like, wow, I enjoyed the journey. Right? Because if you hate the journey, you're not going to do it. That's the reason why a lot of people don't want to finish working out. Like, if they have a goal, everybody, great, great quote. I stole it from somebody. I'll call it out who I got it from, because it's a fantastic statement. So-called, if you want to consider them winners and losers, right? If you want to say that, winners and losers, they actually have the same goal. If you really think about that, it's the process. It's the execution. That's the differentiation. But they have the same goal. Two teams that meet in the championship game. The champion had the exact same goal as the runner-up. The runner-up had the exact same goal as the champion. It's the process. Maybe they didn't work out long enough. They didn't practice. They didn't work on their endurance training enough. They weren't willing to go that extra mile. They weren't willing to play through an injury or two. Maybe, right? It's the process. It's everything that built up to it. It's the journey that built up to it, right? Makes it more enjoyable. So keep that in mind. That Nike, Apple, Microsoft, Amazon, whatever company you hold in high regard, these are typically the most, held in the highest regard, typically around the world amongst most people. But whatever company you hold in high regard, I can almost guarantee, without seeing their marketing strategy, without seeing their business plan, I can almost guarantee they went through these steps. Number one, let's get right into it. Number one, they're choosing the niche. They're going into and identifying, what exactly am I all about? Companies that are extremely successful, actually, I take that back. Companies that are successful, right? Because we all have a different idea of success. Don't get me wrong. That's subjective, right? But companies that are successful on their books, they're happy with the outcomes. If you notice, if you talk to the CEO, you talk to the president, you talk to the strategy people, at least, right? And I'm starting off there, because this is you. Listen to this. You're the strategy person. You're that founder, you're the CEO, you're the president. They have a very clear vision of who they're talking to, why they're talking to them, who they're trying to connect with, what experience they're trying to create, the products and services they want to deliver. But they have a very clear vision of who they're talking to. If you go online and you look at any of these entrepreneurs who are the gurus or whatever, but you look at the ones who are really doing it. And I'm not knocking another man, another woman's hustle. Right? Whether you agree with some tactics, not tactics, they know who they're talking to. And I bring that up because we often get so focused on, well, I don't like that guy. I don't want to listen to him, but I don't care for the way they do certain. I'm talking about bare bones, what it takes to be a successful business. That's what we talk about here on the Ambition Show. Brand authority is what we're talking about. And the very first thing you need to know is, who are you talking to? Why are you talking to them? Know your audience. If you don't know these people, if you don't know who you're talking to, if you don't know who you're making content for, if you don't know who you're promoting to, then what? You're basically shooting in the dark. You're shooting an arrow down a dark tunnel, hoping to hit the target. Literally, that's what we call hope marketing. In marketing, we always call that hope marketing. I'm going to spend a bunch of money and I'm going to hope the right people see it. I'm going to put an advertisement there. Oh, it's a billboard. People are going to see it. Yeah, people are going to see it. You know what it's like? Thankfully, I've never done this, but unfortunately, I've had conversations with people who've had some horror stories. But you know what it's like to spend 20, 30 grand on a billboard? And you know for a fact, almost 250,000 people passed that dang on thing. And you didn't get hardly any return on investment. And when I say any, I mean like, let's say 250,000 people pass it. You got one phone call. Yeah. You got one download. That's the result I've heard from somebody in the past. And I was sad for them. Because they were doing hope marketing. They're like, oh, I saw a billboard. It's available. I bought it. We need a billboard. I need a billboard. And this is months after it has happened to them. I'm asking them, like, why would you spend that money on a billboard? You didn't even know if that was your area. Well, because everybody passes it. Everybody passes it. In a city of 4, 5, 6 million people, everybody passes this billboard? No. No. Not even half of those people pass that billboard. That's when you don't know your market. You don't know your audience. The very first step, the very first thing you need to do is know who you're talking to, know who you're creating content for, know who the communication is going to. Because at this point, it's just shooting in the dark. Now, don't get me wrong. You can put out fillers. You can start out by putting out, you know, different types of content to see what catches, to test. Because you have this is the research portion, right? You're going to be doing the research. I'm not saying to start out. What I'm saying is to build brand authority. If you're focused, this is why brand authority isn't necessarily the very first thing you should be focused on. It's first identifying who's my target audience. And once you have that, then you can go to the next step. And actually, once you complete all these steps, you're on the track to create brand authority. That's why I say you have to enjoy the journey. Once you establish who am I talking to, then what kind of content? Remember I talked about what platform? Well, that's the where. What type of content? That's the what. What type of content? For who? Because if you're talking to an audience, I'll jump to the next step, but if you're talking to an audience that loves visual content and all you're doing is posting text, it's like why Google Ads or change from AdWords to Google Ads, because they're like, hey, they're noticing a lot of people, they're not clicking on that text like they used to. Don't get me wrong. Google Ads is still... or AdWords, what it used to be called, strictly, is still the most successful advertising platform online. But they would have been doing themselves a disservice, and they have too much data to lie to themselves. You had to put visuals into that. This is why Facebook ads blew up. This is why YouTube ads, which are technically a portion of AdSense and Google ads, they all blew up because Facebook came out with this. We have 15 different versions, 15 different formats right off the bat. It's not just text. And then you can identify which format works. That was the best thing about the way they worked with their advertising platform. And we all know my issues with Facebook advertising platform, but we have a sidebar about that. That's a whole nother thing. Number two, product services, but specifically producing quality products and services. I can't tell you enough. Don't believe that hype. Don't believe the hype, because there's a lot of people who talked about this. Oh, we could produce anything and they'll buy it. We could produce any. No, let me tell you right now. There's a reason why Wish. Remember Wish? Wish is still out there now, but there's a reason why. You saw a lot of advertisements for Wish. A lot of people bought from Wish, and then slowly but surely, no matter what, even if the products look nice in pictures, people don't want to wait 21 days for a product. People don't want to wait 30 days for a product. People don't want to wait. We're in the Amazon world now, right? We're in the Minute Rice world now. We don't want that. We want quality products, quality service. And you know what the funny thing about it is? Most consumers, they want both of those things at a low price. And here's the crazy part about it. They can demand that because they're getting that. So if you start producing something that isn't like that, you got a problem. You got a serious problem. Okay? Quality services, quality products is a cornerstone of a successful business. And let's just be real. We're looking for a successful business overall, right? Brand authority is an aspect of that. Your brand is an asset, is an intangible asset. Your logo, your slogan, your the name of your company, your URL, you know, your domain name. Those are assets. So that MVP, that's going to help you get to that point even faster because you can produce this at a small level. Like what it could be videos. It could be video tutorials. It could be video courses, right? Because let's just say, you know, your area is a service, not so much a product. But even if it is a product, what if you're sharing tutorials? What if you have a Patreon? I know this is good. I'm just thinking way outside the box because you have to think outside the box. You are an entrepreneur. You're a creative. So you're thinking outside the box automatically. If you're listening to this podcast, you're thinking outside the box automatically, right? So your Patreon could be your MVP somehow, right? You can fit it into where this is the bread and butter. This is what people come to. It doesn't take me a lot to produce this. I produce really good content, but my product and service is something else, right? My product and service is outside of this. But this is what I can do. I can knock out, you know, 20 videos or whatever content I'm producing on Patreon in a couple of hours a day. And get it out there into the channel. So produce quality products and service overall, but develop that MVP. And when you know that customer, you know their pain points, you know what they need the most, it's easy for you to create an MVP because you're like, this is everything they need in totality, this is everything that they need, right? Maybe they need templates, they need graphics, they need advice on cameras. But what they keep coming back for, what they keep asking for the most, I can create something very simple. In other words, simple for me to produce it at a massive level and swiftly. And it's quality. It brings in revenue and it gets my brand out there. Problem solving solutions. Focus on solving problems. That's where the quality of your product and services come from. What problems am I solving? What are those pain points? Address the customer needs. Focus on advising and not selling. I'm going to say that again. Problem solving, right? Create problem solving solutions. And if you're wondering, how do I apply this to? Well, if you're a mechanic, that's very easy. Because the problem is I need my car to get to work. I've used that analogy. I've used that before because I've you know, done some advertising for auto body repair. And that was the easiest way to convey the message. This mother needs this car to get to work, take care of a family. You know what I'm saying? This guy, he's actually paying his way through college. He needs his car to get to and from work to pay off bills. Right? This husband and wife, they carpool. They take care of their family. They do their grocery shopping. They do their runs. They take their family out, you know, for dinner. They need their car. You are solving a problem. You can relate this to anything. It's just you have to take a step back and think about what problems. And that's why I say, if you know your customer, you get to this right away. Now, what can I do at the minimum level? I could change tires. I could change your oil. I could have a service where I come to you to change your oil. It's nothing for me. I can knock that out in 2 days. I could do two locations, 2 days. I've seen it before where they have a specific spot people go to and they know that that's where they're going to change your oil. Saves people tons of time. They even have it set up outside of the workplace, right? If they have a big enough parking lot, that kind of stuff. Problem solving solutions. Those are quality products, right? That don't break down. They're not cheap. It's not like, oh, just trying to hurry up and get in the channel. No, it's actually something that solves a problem. And let me tell you, every single product and service has this. The key is, does your product and service relate to that audience? See, it's not that the product and service can't do this. It's that, does the product and service relate to the audience? It's problems. You might have the wrong product and service, you might be tying the wrong product and service to the wrong problem. I can't get to work today because my car broke down. I'm going to sell them a t-shirt. Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense at all. But that's what some people do. They kind of have this, like, they have it. I'm just going to tie to anything. You know, I'm having a really bad, rough day. We'll come into my bar. Well, I don't know about that. I don't know if you want to start mixing having a bad day and then immediately going to a bar. You know what I mean? Like, that's, you might want to try that a little differently. You know what I'm saying? But that's what I'm saying. So identify first with the problems that you're trying to solve. Who are you trying to solve them for? What problems are you trying to solve? What quality products and services can do this? Then it goes to step three. This is actually, I'm going to probably spend the least amount of time on this one, because this is, once you do those other things, it's kind of easy. This one's very easy. Create the content. Remember I talked about the platforms? I'll come back to the platforms. Create the content. Steps two and three. First, create, publish quality content consistently. And that content, the quality, is all based on the value, and the quality is based on what? It's based on the research and the information you've taken from step one. They're all connected. Like I said, once you enjoy the journey, you get the process down, it's easy at that point, right? So you've established, who am I talking to? What are their pain points? What is the products and services that they need the most? What's the MVP? Let me go back. Or I should say, let me, now that I've gone back to those points, where do they consume that information the most? Or where do they want to consume that information the most? Where do they find that information the most? That's the platform I go to. And that's the type of content I have to produce. But do this consistently. This is where, hey, I have my hand raised this guy, because I've been there a couple times. This is where we all struggle the most. It's that consistency. See, consistency is the key. Consistency is the key of everything. If you notice that, people talk about relationships. If you've been in a relationship, you've had a partner, they've been like, hey, you know, we used to do this. We don't do this no more. It's consistency. They're looking for consistency. They want you to be the person you were day one. Right? You might have some, you know, you might evolve, change a little bit because you get older, but they want some consistency in a relationship. The relationship of a customer and a business is the same thing. They want consistency. Remember, well, might be showing my age again, but remember when Coke tried that Coca-Cola 2 crap? That Coke 2? What happened? You can look this up. Look it up online real quick. Coke 2. Coke 2. That alone will tell you. And we're talking about Coca-Cola, one of the biggest notable brand equity, brand authority in the world. And they were looking, I mean, they were struggling. And here's the thing about it. They developed it because they already were having an issue. They're like, well, people getting a little tired of it, blah, blah, blah. Let's change it around. And then they came out with this, and people were like, wait a minute. We didn't say change the entire formula. We didn't say change Coca-Cola in general. And they had some serious backlash. I believe there was another one. Remember Clear Pepsi? Yeah, that's right. I said it. Clear Pepsi. Doesn't make any friggin' sense. But this is what I'm talking about, consistency. Brand authority. A brand is consistent. And this is not just a logo. This is not just color scheme. This is not just aesthetics. This is everything that you do. If you are a podcast, you podcast. That's right. I said it. If you are a podcast, you podcast. If you're a YouTube channel, you YouTube channel. Doesn't make sense the way I put that, but you know what I mean. You get yourself on YouTube and you YouTube. Because it's the consistency. I can't tell you how many times I've seen this. or I go to comments in a podcaster or a YouTube channel, they've taken a day or two off, and they may have even announced it, but they've built that brand equity. They've built that authority where at a said time on a specific day, people go to that channel. And you know what? As soon as they come back with a new episode or they come back with new content on the regularly scheduled time, people comment, hey, where were you last week? Hey, what's going on? That's brand authority. You want it to be. This is what I always suggest. And I'm going to jump to step five in a second. But this is what I suggest. To stick with three and four, right? Three, create, publish quality content consistently and share valuable content, right? Based on your research. If you're going to take breaks, if you're going to take a vacation, prep for that. I'm thinking of two major podcasts that have also YouTube channels. And I'm going to tell you right now, I was really shocked when both of these not platforms, because the platform is actually YouTube. Both of these, you know, channels and these brands, one announced they were taking a vacation. They're like, hey, we won't make any, we're not doing any episodes next week at all. They have 2 days that they produce episodes. And another one, they produce an episode every single day. It's interesting how the one that produced something every single day, they didn't do a full episode. They didn't do a full episode. What they did was, is they would post a quick, not a live episode, because they normally would go live. They didn't go live. They did a real quick recording of just some topics that they normally would cover. And they say, hey, when we come back from vacation, we're going to go over this. But it was real short. As opposed to an hour episode, it was like not even 10 minutes. Real short, real to the point. But they did it at the same time. The other one, they didn't do anything. When they broke, when they took a break, they took a break. And at the end of the week, everybody's like, hey, what's going on? What's, you know, and the funny thing about it is they're like, oh, we didn't lose any listeners, you know, blah, blah, blah. We just had to take a break. And they actually did lose some listeners. Because I saw comments and then people just bringing up, hey, this is like the third time y'all have done that. Like, that's kind of messed up. Like, people are expecting that. People are looking forward to it. It's because they build brand equity. So prep. If you're going to take vacation, if you're going to take time off, if you're going to say, hey, you know what? Now I'm not talking about emergencies, of course. I'm talking about like if it's actual. This is why you produce a lot of content. This is why you're MVP, right? It's something very small. You can a couple snippets. Hey, you know what? We're not doing full episodes because we're on vacation. So we're going to just have this out there, right? Keep that in mind. That maintains that builds brand equity, maintains and develops that authority. Because out of sight, out of mind, especially nowadays, as soon as you leave, there's 15 other podcasts, YouTube channels, blogs ready to jump in and take that place. And number five is associate your brand or associate your building brand, your business with an established and notable brand. Now, this is a little bit more, challenging, especially if you're just starting out. But this is why you start out so strong, right? When we talked about the formula of success in some episodes back, talked about how you have to double, triple, quadruple, 10 toes down to whatever you're doing. Because it's the people who say, okay, I'm going to have 1 foot in, 1 foot out. Those are the people that really don't make it happen. Or it takes a lot longer. I'm speaking from personal experience. It just takes longer to get on that consistent level of success and what you want to do the most because you have 1 foot in, 1 foot out, 1 foot in, 1 foot out, right? You're trying to play both roles. Now, not to say you can't be successful. Like I said, it just might take a lot longer. It might be a more stressful journey. The journey and the process is what we're talking about here, right? But if you're consistent and you're producing good quality content, it's easy to co-brand. I can't tell you, I produced 2 or 3 episodes of the pod and immediately because of what I was producing, it wasn't like, I'll be real with you. I'm not like in a huge studio. You know, I'm not working with one of the biggest radio stations or, you know, one of the biggest podcast networks. But because once again, know my target audience. I'm producing content that's for that audience, specifically for that audience. That audience is finding valuable. Other podcasters, other brands started reaching out to me. And that's how it works. If you're consistent and if you're producing quality content. So, if you're producing quality products and services, right, and that content that's illustrating that that product and service is of quality, of good nature, of most importantly, it's an actual problem solver, and you're getting feedback, you're getting traffic, the brands will come to you. And my suggestion is 10 toes down, go hard as you can, focus and zero in. I mean, zero in on, I am going to execute number of episodes. I'm going to execute this consistently every week, every day, week, month, year. And I would suggest for the first 6 months to a year, you don't contact any brands. Seriously, don't do it. And this is funny because I'm taking this formula from affiliate marketing, and I worked with a really, really, to say the least, like, I haven't done a comparison, but definitely one of the most successful affiliate marketers I've ever met. And all he did was, he's like, that first year, and actually he stretched out a little bit farther when he changed, but he changed brands, right? He changed what his products and services were. That first year, he said, I didn't contact any affiliates. All I did was blog, vlog. Wrote my blogs, did video, talked about my products and services. You know, that's all he focused on. And all he was doing was product reviews. But his products and services was like thorough reviews, right? Thorough reviews for customers. And he had his own, yeah, like I said, affiliate marketer. But this isn't a guy who made his business online strictly. This is literally an affiliate marketer who just, he has a shop, he had a store. He loved to do, you know, tutorials and stuff like that. He started doing video reviews for it. And then he did a blog for it. And here's the crazy part about it. Whole year, nothing. Didn't contact any brands. Didn't contact any affiliates. Didn't do anything like that. But because he was so consistent in videos he was producing and the blogs he was producing, they all came to him. And he was, at that point, he really could set his own price, right? So knowing who you're talking to, that helps the brands establish, okay, these are the brands that, you know, would want to connect with you because you clearly are going after the same people, right? Then if you really beef up your authority to where you speak at a few events, you live stream those, you post the video of it, you do your own webinars and you post those. Once again, like I said, I'm not talking about, nothing about me is saying contact the brands. Nothing about what I'm saying right now is saying go towards advertisers. It's all about you establishing consistent, quality, valuable content. They'll come to you. The request for interviews will come to you. The request for speaking engagements will come to you. The request for events will come to you. The request to join in on panels and webinars will come to you. And that's what you do. You need to participate and you make sure you get copies of that content. You make sure you get it written down that you can share the snippets of the content that you are a part of. Like, because mostly they'll say, well, yeah, you maybe can't do the whole event. But yeah, I have to be able to show what I've done. And if I can't, then I don't want to participate because you want to be able to control your brand and your image, right? Because this is the brand authority process. Don't get it twisted. Even though I've talked about quality products and I've done all, this is the brand authority process, okay? Step 5, associate with established and notable brands. And this is how you do it. Finally, capture social proof. Capture social proof. Let's say it again. Capture social proof. Okay. Social proof. Let's break it down, or let's look at it from different perspectives, what social proof is. Okay. Expert social proof, right? I got it in three little categories. Expert social proof. From an established authoritative party, okay, of a group of company, organization, whatever it may be, in your industry, including, which if you can get this, it'd be great. Especially as you go through this process. If you're by this point where you've already been producing quality content, you should probably be able to easily get this. At the same time, you're getting contact from brands and advertisers and potential affiliates. Respected journalists, bloggers, thought leaders, and tastemakers in your industry. Social proof is someone else saying, hey, that guy, that woman knows what they're doing. They know what they're talking about. They are a beast. Can't go wrong with that. And that's expert social proof. So if you got, even if it's a person, this is why I talk about, I say competitors, but I also say contemporaries. With all due respect, there's a lot of potential, or I'm doing air quotes, you can't see me. Hey. There's a lot of experts, right? And on top of that, there are a lot of competitors trying to, you know, everybody trying to compete to be the experts. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to name any names, but I don't consider none of these people competitors to me. You know why? Because we might be talking to the same people, but we're not talking to the same people about the same problems. We might be talking about the same problems or trying to solve the same issues and pain points in our audience, but we're not necessarily talking to the same people. Okay, I'm going to flip that around one more time because I know, although I've never been a rapper, never tried to be a rapper, I don't know. I when I get into my Eminem mode, this is the closest I will ever be to a great rapper. Okay. So we may be speaking to the same people, but not necessarily providing the same solutions, solving the same problems for the same group of people. Reverse that. We may be solving similar problems, providing the similar solutions, but for different groups of people. Right? When you have your target audience so defined, now you can niche down all the way to the point where it's like five people, which I hate to say it, I've rarely seen that, but I have seen it. That means somebody just got really, they got filter happy, right? They went on a dating site and they just got filter happy. They just went crazy with the filters. I just thought about that, how that would look. But anyway, it's like those two people that show up in a city full of 20 million people. But they're like, oh, those are your only matches. So if you're focusing on a really strong target audience, right? You have a really defined target audience. You don't have competitors. You have contemporaries. You have people you could talk to. You have people you can bounce ideas off of. Now, some of them might see you as a competitor and they don't want to talk to you. Cool. Kick rocks. Move on. Do you. Work with the people who want to work with you. Always in life. Work with the people who want to work with you. I didn't say they got to like you. I say you got to like them. I say you want to work with them. There's multiple people I've worked with and I'm like, I wouldn't talk to you, you know. We wouldn't hang out and go have a drink or go to the movies together. And they felt the same way. But, you know, they say, you know what? When we come to this office, we're going to make this money. And I was like, exactly. Exactly. That's what our mindset's on. Because they're like, hey, you know the audience. I know the audience. We both know how to connect with them. I have this resource. You have that resource. Let's make it happen. It's the same thing. It's the same exact thing. So that journalist could be your potential competitor. No, they're an expert in their field. They're a go-to authority themselves. Hey, here's the content I've been producing. If you do reach out to them, here's the content I've been producing. This is the content I'm producing. You know what? I do want to share with you. I do want to connect with you. Right? That's that expert social proof. They're writing about, hey, this guy or woman, they know what they're talking about. The blogger says, I went to this website. I do this all the time. I have no problem doing it. I have no problem sharing it. And I'll share it with that person. I'm like, hey, you know what? You had a really great statement in your blog article. And I'm going to talk about it on my podcast. Can I use that excerpt? Can I use that? Is that okay? I'll come to them. I'm like, hey, straight up. You know, hey, if you don't want me to do it, that's cool. And they'll usually ask, yeah, as long as you link back. Of course, I got a problem with it because clearly I'm getting it from you. So I have references. All my Medium articles, I have a reference page just for those because I'm like, hey, I have no problem giving somebody else their shine, especially if they were right about it and what they said could connect with my audience, could help. Because I'm thinking about you guys who's listening to this. I'm thinking about you guys who's watching this. It's about you guys because I created the Ambitious Show. I created everything that I do is on the same wavelength. Once again, consistency is to help creative entrepreneurs. It's to help creative entrepreneurs get the resources, the tools that they need to live out their dreams and succeed reaching their goals. It's not easy, but I want to give you guys what I didn't have. I didn't have the podcast to go to. I didn't have all the books to read. I didn't have, you know, I went to business school and everything. I had to go through multiple jobs. I had to go through a lot of iterations of myself, right? If I can help save a strong group of people the same amount of time, if I can save you that time, great. Because now, what does that make me? A valuable resource. But more importantly, that's just my purpose. That's my professional purpose. And I'm consistently producing content that does that. Here's the cool thing about that. Experts hear that. Tastemakers hear that. Journalists hear that. They want to connect. Do the same. Quality content. Now, there's another form of social proof called celebrity social proof. Celebrity social proof is basically just celebrity endorsements, right? And we see this all the time in advertisements where a celebrity endorses a product. Now, we're not talking about the product. I'm not just a user, you know, that kind of stuff. We're talking about like legit, like they're just strictly an advertiser. And we know that's what they're doing. We know that they don't use that product every day. You know, they're only using that product because they're getting paid to use that product. That's celebrity endorsements. I, if I were you, would stay away from these the most. Because it, although a lot of money gets spent, the funniest thing about it is, if we look at, because you might want to call that influencer marketing. It's not influencer marketing necessarily, right? And I've brought this up before in another episode. In fact, you know what? Leave a comment. I'm going to call this out. Leave a comment. Leave a comment if you want to see an episode specifically about influencer marketing and the different types of influencer marketing, celebrity endorsements. And I'll make sure not only do we have that episode, but I'll bring in a couple of people who are, you know what? I'll do this. I'll bring in an influencer and I'll bring in an influencer marketing expert. What did I just do there? Social proof. No. But yeah, technically what they're going to do, that's going to have social proof for them. That one is an influencer and one is an influencer marketing expert, right? You know, from a specialist standpoint, analyst standpoint, manager, marketing manager standpoint. So yeah, that's what we'll do. If you want to see that specifically about the differences between influencer marketing, celebrity endorsement, sponsorships, and those, you know, those different areas, and how to become an influencer, you know, we can go into all those. Leave a comment that you want to see that episode. Just say yes, influencer marketing. I want to see yes, influencer marketing. Yes, influencer marketing. Okay. But yeah, celebrity endorsements. That's a good one. I would suggest staying away from it, especially if you're starting out. One of the best examples of this, though, if it's done right, is, of course, Michael Jordan and Nike. Literally, that is one of the best examples of that. That was social proof for the brand. Nike on Michael Jordan's feet, and Michael Jordan becomes literally what Larry Bird, what did Larry Bird call him? He said, I think we just saw God on the basketball court. That's social proof. If that ain't social proof, I don't know what is. You have literally one of the greatest players of all time talking about now, at that time, one of the young up-and-coming great players, potentially arguably the greatest player of all time. I'm not going to get into that at all. I'm just going to say six championships. That's enough said. Six championships, six appearances, six championships. Anyway, but it's a really great example of social proof, right? Or I'm sorry, of celebrity social proof, to be specific. That's one of the best examples of it. And we see this all the time. But it's not necessarily executed to that same level. There's magic there. And that's the key of celebrity social proof. It's, I mean, everything's about timing, but that is one of the most important because honestly, so many things could have played differently. And there's a whole movie coming out about that. So many things could have played out differently. And that would have destroyed that entire, right, legacy. So celebrity social proof is expensive, but it's also an easy hit or miss. Easy, very easy. Which leads me to the one you should be after. Based on one of the other steps we went over, user social proof. Let this pass. User social proof. User social proof is the one you should focus on the most. And you know why? As an entrepreneur, as a small business owner, as a founder, as a CEO, these are the people you're creating the products and services for. You know, it's funny how we talk about testimonials, or I should say testimonials, mostly like video of people, you know, using your product, right, and getting paid to use your product. There's a reason why that's growing so much. The reason why that's growing so much is because that looks like an actual person using a product and giving their legitimate, unbiased, it's like a term I use, right? I use this term, unbiased promotion or unbiased shout out. Right, I use unbiased promotion or unbiased shout out. And the reason why is because these aren't people that are paying me. It's like I said, the link, and that's more of the expert social proof. I'll call out, hey, go to that YouTube channel. That's a freaking awesome YouTube channel. Go to that podcast. It's a great podcast for you as a business owner. Whether and they didn't pay me because I'm like, this is actually something I listen to. I watch. I use. So when you have user testimonials, when you have reviews, this is why a negative review, do you know, based on Yelp, at least, this is there from their research, it takes 7 positive reviews. And I mean, we're talking about 5-star reviews, top reviews, to completely remove, not remove it from the screen, not remove it from the platform, but to remove the impact of 1 negative review. Think about that, because we do focus on the negative. That's why, unfortunately, a lot of videos and content that's out there, it trends or blows up because it's negative. But getting back to, you know, the brand aspect of it, that makes sense. Because if somebody has a really bad experience with a brand, that's the first thing I'm looking at. Let's be honest. If we're on Amazon, Yelp, Google reviews, we're in any of these places, what is the first thing? Trustpilot, what are we looking at? We're looking at the negative reviews. The first thing I look at is the negative reviews. And you know why? This is actually why. Now, not everybody's the same. This is why I look at the negative reviews first. I look at negative reviews first because I look to see how in-depth the negative review is. If a person takes time to tell you how bad an experience is, it was a bad experience for them. For them. Always think about this from the customer's perspective. If a customer takes the time to tell you in 3, 4, 5 paragraphs, this was my experience at this hotel, this was my experience at that restaurant, this is my experience with those shoes, you like, oh, this person's, well, first off, they had a little time on their hands, but at the same time, it's like, because it's coming, it was really an impact to them. Now, I don't know about you, but I can tell you about myself on this one. If I hear positive reviews that say, yes, it was good, I'm not looking at that again. I'm like, what? I was like, they probably had their uncle write that. or just 5 stars and they didn't say anything. You know, you don't look at that. And that's why you look at the negative reviews first. Because you're like, hey, if somebody took the time to really write, and I'm going to let y'all know a little secret right there. I'm gonna tell you about myself real quick. Hold on, real sec. I'm a reviewer. So I'll tell you this right now. I'm a reviewer. Now, when it comes to creative, when it comes to like books, audiobooks, or a book I read, or you know, YouTube channel, I'm actually a little bit more lenient on that. I don't worry about reviewing as much because it's creative, and creative is all subjective. Right. I don't really get into, well, I hate the way this video looked. And I was like, well, you know, maybe he wanted to make a video like that. I don't like the fact that he had background music. Well, you know, maybe they could afford the background music. They wanted to throw it in. You know, I'm not worried about that. But. And this is a, yeah, hippopotamus size. OK. Yes, I have a lot of corny jokes. Deal with it. If it's a shoe, if it's a car, a restaurant, something like that, I'm going to review. I'm definitely going to review. And Because it's like you have a recipe for a dish. It's supposed to be made a certain way. I'm going to review that. It's supposed to be spicy. There's no spice. And I'm gonna get into some detail. Okay. And I'm just referencing, thinking about, like, I bought a bunch of stuff recently for my studio. Okay. Building out my podcast studio, building out content in general, right? I'm really focusing on content in general. And I literally had, I want to say six. Yeah. All of them had really good reviews, really thorough reviews. But I want to say I had about six different, extended, port or drivers for, connecting HDMI. Don't get me wrong. Like I said, they're not going to tell everybody. But darn it, if you do it right, social proof goes a long way. Comments, reviews, testimonials. Capture those as much as possible. Put them in a nice little packet. Put them in a nice little brand kit. Put them in a nice little pitch deck. This is what the consumers are saying about us. In fact, what I'm going to do with this episode, I'm going to post up, I'm going to post a link to different reviews, right, from my business. Straight up. This is me. This is not me. I tell you every episode, this is not me. This is not hyperbole. This isn't theory. This is application. This is experience for me, the people I've worked with, people I've worked for, right? Contemporaries, people, mentors that I've worked with, all of this is real. None of this is me coming, shooting it from the hip, just off the top of my head. This is actual application. These testimonials, these user social proof, that goes a long way into people saying that guy, that woman, that team, that company knows what the heck they're doing. And if that person is willing to spend that much time just to leave a paragraph, two paragraphs, a nice sentence even, that means something. So I'm going to do for you guys. I'm going to leave a link in the description of this episode. I'm going to leave a link. Well, I'm going to leave a couple of them. I'm going to leave because we have them in different places, of course. But I'm going to leave a link to the different, testimonials that we have just so you can see. Leave that kind of impact. Leave that kind of experience for people. They're going to come back. But more importantly, other people are going to see that. They're like, I want that too. When I go to him for, web design, when I go to that person if they're a bakery, if I go to that cafe, I want that experience too. And I want to be able to share that experience. Right? We haven't even gotten into like experience marketing, but that's a whole nother world. And that's a world that's continuously blowing up, especially now that we have the pandemic. Well, we're out of, quarantine, lockdown. So social proof is that last step. That's the world. That's someone in the world saying, you know what you're doing. You're good at what you do. Your brand deserves trust. That's literally what it's saying. Five steps. Before that is all leading up to this. Somebody to say, yes, validation of what I do. Because you're doing it for someone else. See, normally we would say, don't worry about that. But you're doing it for someone else, okay? So when we come back, go over the six steps, just kind of like a refresh of the six steps. And then, of course, we'll finish out with what to read, the book that'll help you as a nice compliment to this episode, the book you should go into, and you can pull out a lot of great information when we come back. Everybody, we're back. Now, what to read? We're going to get into what to read, but first I wanted to go over those six steps again of establishing brand authority. So we originally started off in what brand authority is exactly, right? We called out as building and developing that trust relationship with that target audience. Extremely important. It is the cornerstone of it all, right? That's the brand, the trust, what they expect from you. What they expect from you, what they intend to, or what they expect to receive from you. Then the platforms, roughly went over the platforms. Like I said, the platform is based on, when we go through the steps, right? That'll determine what the platform is. But some of the best platforms, because of people consuming so much video, I can't express it enough. The best platform is YouTube. Hands down, the best platform for any creative is YouTube. the best platform, I'll argue this. I would love, if anybody wants to challenge me on this, I would love to have I would even have a live discussion about this one. The best platform on the web for a brand, for a business to establish brand authority is YouTube. Doesn't matter what the business is. It doesn't. I could argue that. And I literally, and I'm, now of course we're talking about things that are legal. For anybody who's like, well, you know, Aaron, that corner around the street. No. Illegal, right? Legal businesses. Everything legal, YouTube is the best platform. And this is why they really don't. They do have some type of alternatives. In fact, I'll leave you a link to the alternatives. This is interesting. But they actually do have some alternatives. TikTok, Medium. For those who don't know Medium, oh, you go to listen to me, you're going to learn a lot about Medium. LinkedIn Publishing. You don't know a lot about LinkedIn in general, you're going to learn a lot about LinkedIn. Listen to me. Quora. Already talked about Quora. I answer questions on Quora. If you have questions about business, digital marketing, specifically entrepreneurship, digital marketing, web design, meet me on Quora. It's easy to find me. I'm the only one there. Only Aaron Muhammad there. Reddit. Podcast. Clearly, you're listening to a podcast. Udemy. Great place for courses. It's SlideShare. Those are great platforms, but it's all about these six steps, right? This is what determines which of those platforms. Besides YouTube, like I said, great way to establish it, a great platform to establish that authority. All depends on these steps and how consistent you are with these steps. So the steps are, first you start off by choosing the right niche, I know some people say niche, but I don't know. It goes back and forth. But the key is knowing the audience, right? Knowing the pain points of that audience, knowing what that audience is looking for, know who they are, where they are, what they're looking for, what and the what and the why behind their decision making as a consumer. Okay, it's about building that relationship. And how can you build a relationship with someone if you don't know who they are? They're investing in your company, they're investing in your business, they're investing in you. That's the very first step. Map that out, have that clearly illustrated for yourself. Got a great tool to help you out in doing that. Next up is producing quality products and services that solve problems. That's where the quality comes from. That's where the value comes from. Does it actually solve a problem? I talked about that when I referenced the auto body shop. Does it solve a problem? Does it actually do something meaningful for me as a consumer? Now, I didn't say meaningful for like the what life is all about and all that stuff. I'm talking about what meaningful for me as a consumer. I am cold. I need a coat. I live in Chicago. I need a very, very good coat during the cold weather. That's meaningful, right? And backing that up with the content that you use. Now, this is where 3 and 4, like I said, they kind of connect. Or should they connect? They kind of, they're similar in the regard of value and quality content. But 4 is really focusing on pulling from all of that research and using the industry insights, using the information, the data, the actual data, the numbers that fit. Well, this is where I should post, when I should post, how I should post, that kind of thing. Getting down to the numbers of the game. But the value and the quality is about everything that you've learned from that target audience. Once you enjoy the journey and you have a process in place, it's easy to replicate. It's easy to repeat. And this is the process of building an authoritative brand. That way you can bring in a consistent traffic from potential prospective buyers. Not just general people, right? Not just people who, oh, wow, that's kind of cool, but I'm not going to buy anything. Those are the people who, those are the advertisers spend so much money on advertising and on marketing, but they're not getting the return on investment that they need. How do you even know what the return on investment is you need, right? You spend $150,000 on marketing. You spend $1 million on advertising. You tell me you only need $1 million in return? No, you need more than that because you produce the quality, you produce the product and the service, right? You need way more than that. So knowing these numbers is important. Knowing what the insights and what the data tells you is important. And then connecting it to the creative. That's where your quality content comes from. But it has to be consistent. Because consistency, you take away the biggest variable. Well, wait, if I post on Sunday and didn't post on Saturday. If I post on Monday, but I didn't post, I post every other Monday in every other month, but I skipped one month every time. So I did it. In January, I posted every day. February, I posted every other day. It's inconsistency. You have to be consistent because this is also what builds a relationship with the customer, with the quality aspects of the customer. They see a quality in you that, you're going to always be there. And you might look at that the wrong way. But let me tell you something. I talked about with the Coca-Cola reference. Even when their sales were down, they got way worse feedback. They got horrible consumer reports when they tried to reinvent the entire brand. And people are like, no, that's not why we come to Coca-Cola. Be consistent. And focus on connecting through that content on a consistent basis and building that valuable content that people see, here is a solution to my problem. Here is a place I can go to get the information I need and I can trust and I can share it with others. Now, I would suggest you skip right to six if you're establishing your brand for the very first time. You're just establishing your business, you're establishing your brand. Focus on social proof, right? Jump over five and go to six. Focus on social proof, specifically user social proof. Get reviews, get testimonials, and get those babies posted and published. Because the moment people start seeing, hey, these are other consumers that are saying good things about this, I want that same experience. I want that same experience that they had with that brand. When people see that and you're starting to get the orders, you're starting to get the traffic, let me tell you something. This is why you skip five. Everyone's watching. Don't think people aren't watching. People are watching. The people who are doing this professionally, in other words, the ones who are creating brands and products and services that are here to stay, they're watching everybody. They're watching everything to see who's the competition, who's my potential partner, who's my potential investor. They're watching everything. So when they see that people are coming to your brand, your content, and they are leaving reviews, they're leaving testimonials, they're leaving great experiences, they're going to come to you. That's why you skip five and go right to six, because five, once again, is associated with established and notable brands. But I'm coming from the area of entertainment marketing. Don't call us. We will call you. If you are worthy, and when I mean worthy, I mean people who are. What I mean by worthy is the brands that are out there. That are out there making a name, that are establishing themselves, that are getting consumers, that are influential. Oh, believe me, you're going to get a call. Believe me, someone's going to call you. Believe me, the brands are going to start hitting you up. After just a few episodes of consistently doing what I was doing and being consistent and deliberate in my content, in the quality of my content and focusing on my target audience. Just in a few episodes, I started getting people to contact me because they were saying, wait a minute, we see what you're doing. You're already on that path. We want to be a part of that. Because success likes success. Successful brands, people, companies, they want to align themselves with successful brands, people and companies. I said peoples, good Lord. People and companies. They want to align that. Right. So if you focus on, hey, let me just make sure I have a quality, valuable product and service to a customer that needs this, that needs that solution. Believe me, the businesses are going to come to you. The brands are going to come to you. The advertisers are going to come to you. Right. Referencing the example I gave to the electronics repair reviewer. He was just doing it for the love of it, but he was consistent in it. Didn't contact anybody. He looks up, almost 13 months later, everybody is coming to him with money. Hey, we'll pay you for these reviews. Hey, we'll pay you to promote our brand. And because he focused on his audience, he went with some and didn't go with some. So those are the six steps. Once again, focus on target audience. Number one, choosing the niche, produce quality products and services, create and publish quality content consistently, share valuable content consistently based on research, associate with established notable brands. But as I said, if you are a new business, if you're a new brand, I would skip directly to 6, which is capture and distribute social proof. Okay. And then come back to 5, associate with established and notable brands. Which leads us to what to read. Now, I'm going to get right to it because I read this a couple times and some books fit perfectly into what I'm going to talk about, what topic came up from a discussion that we produce an episode on. Content Mapping by Henry Adasso. And if I mispronounce your last name, Henry, please forgive me. Full title is Content Mapping, Unlocking the Power of Content to Increase Engagement, Leads, and Sales. This book fits right into it because Henry is one of those people. Henry's one of those people, from what I've read, Henry is definitely one of those people who can make a nice connection, a nice clean connection between the data, the logic, the numbers, and the creative. And that's what this book is about. That's why this is perfect for this episode too. Because if you're truly focused on establishing a brand that's authoritative, that's a resource that people go to, I name the biggest big companies. I can name a lot of other businesses that are out here, right? Like I can name, websites and blogs I can name, right? We have Think Media out here. We have Nerd Wallet. We have the Motley Fool, right? We have Barstool. You have a lot of brands from all different aspects. I just gave you blogs, podcasts. CNET is another great one, right? There's a lot of brands out here that do that. And what they're doing is they're connecting their content to the value, okay? The content to the value it brings to you as a consumer. Every piece, every post, every advertisement, every episode, like this, the purpose is to connect with creative entrepreneurs, right? Who need the tools, who need those resources. That's what this show is a resource. The show is a resource within itself, and it has even more resources behind it, right? Check out Henry's book because he's connecting how you can do this from any level. We're talking about a man who has well over 15 years experience with some of the biggest brands, from publishing, which is extremely important from this aspect of what we're talking about, because we're talking about publishing content. So from the publishing world, that's incredibly valuable, because he's looking at it from the perspective from a publisher who's actually had to do that from producing informative content, right? Being that authoritative resource that people come to for information, for quotes, for references. Okay, Vibe, LA Weekly, the Houston Press. Henry's been there and done that. Now, one of the best things to describe his book, or best ways, I should say, one of the best ways to describe his book, how to map content with the intent of your potential buyers and get them to say yes. Can't say that better. That's actually one of the best ways to describe the book. He put that in a description of the book, and that's one of the best ways to describe it. Because when you read it, you're taking in, this is how I connect the dots from posting on social media, from selecting the right platforms, from what type of content I want to create, like is it video, is it audio, how to connect that to a measurable outcome, SMART goals, if you will, right? How to increase that revenue by using relevant and personalized content. Remember I talked about the reviews and why I should say, and that's why I say, if you're starting out, you should focus on the reviews. In fact, I'm going to give you a good example. I'm going to give you a visual example of that. I'm going to leave a link in the description of this episode with the link to our testimonials and our reviews, because you can see the type of experience I'm talking about. Personalized content. That's a personal experience that somebody had with my brand. That's what you want to share out. Henry's book talks about that, how to develop that relationship to where you get those experiences, how you develop that content to where you can create those experiences with people. Check out the book. This is a completely unbiased promotion and completely unbiased endorsement, right? This is a really solid book for you as a, if you're a first time business owner, if you're an entrepreneur just starting out, or if you, you know, you're rebranding and you want to get these elements down packed so you can have an authoritative brand where you start developing brand equity. Check out this book for sure. Content mapping, long subtitle, but content mapping is the title. Unlocking the power of content to increase engagement, leads, and sales. You're connecting that creativity to those numbers that you need as a business. You need them numbers, okay? Henry, shout out to you. I've never met Henry. Read this book a few times. Never met Henry, but fantastic book. And with that, we're done. We're done for this episode, right? You have what you need. Like I said, after this episode, you can immediately start going out here and doing what you need to do to establish an authoritative brand. And to help you do that, as with every episode, that's my promise to you. Couple tools to help you. Number one, customer avatar template. I talked about knowing who that audience is. I talked about knowing and developing that niche. That template will help you do it. I said illustrate it. You need a visual. I love when people say, I'm a visual learner. I learn by what I see. Everybody pretty much is a visual learner. I'm being real with you. Simply because there's something about when you feel it, when you see it, it becomes real. Your mind creates the vision. So even if you aren't looking at it, if you're hearing it, your mind is starting to develop a picture. We're all there. So don't work harder. Work smarter. Have something on that wall. This is a great template to use. Fill this template out. Also, a content calendar template for social media. Get busy. Be consistent. There's too many tools out here for you not to be consistent. And it's too easy nowadays to be consistent. But the first step is creating that avatar. The second step is making that content. Okay? So there's two links to the templates. Link to download the template for the customer avatar, and a link to capture that content calendar template. Easy to build out. And to help you with that, with producing that content, exclusive offer. This is an offer from Canva. Fantastic platform. I use this platform for my agency. And let me tell you, saved us a lot of time. Saves a lot of time, okay? So you have a couple of templates, a couple of tools right there, and then also just jump right on Canva. If you haven't used Canva before, Canva's a fantastic platform, easy to use. They have a ton of tutorials in Canva. In fact, I was even thinking of starting to do a few Canva tutorials because we're starting to get a few requests on Quora. I might even make a Quora space for Canva. I know I've asked you guys to leave comments about things before in the past, and if if you guys are just starting to use Quora, you might not be able to get there right off the bat. But if I create a space on Quora for Canva, I will share a link for that. That way you guys check it out, especially if it's your first time using Canva. I'll just, post up videos of what I'm doing. Of course, we'll put this on our YouTube channel. But I will post up, videos of just tutorials. And also how-tos, just basic how-tos. But yeah, we can do challenges too. We can do a couple of things there. So yes, this will make that link even more valuable to you. If you start using Canva right now, then you can come into the Quora spaces and find us a Quora for Canva. And that way, if you get any questions that you have, any, roadblocks that you have, I'm right there and I can answer them for you because I answer questions from Quora every day. So why not? So grab the customer avatar template so that way you can map out who your customers are. Grab the content calendar. That way you can start making that content. You can track it. You can measure your success, right? You can measure your path to success. And that way, as you're reading the book, you're developing those metrics. Or I'm sorry, you're looking at those metrics and you're looking at those measurable, the measurable data that to see if you're on the path of where you want to be and developing that brand authority, right? Because you actually have a goal. Now, like I said, that's the difference. And I got that from Atomic Habits. That was the book I got that quote from. I just had to think about it for a second, but that's where I got that quote from. The connection between, or the, sorry, that the winner and the loser have the exact same goal. It's the journey, it's the process, all those things. That's what separates them. And it's the truth. It's the truth. The person who gets the gold medal had the exact same goal as the person who didn't win any medals. So if you look at it that way, it's the exact same thing. Right. So that's why we get over this six step process. That's why you're going to read content mapping. Right. So you can create measurable, repeatable processes. Right. And you can utilize a process. You have the customer avatar. You can build off of that. You have the template. Right. The calendar, the content calendar template. That way you can develop that content. You can consistently produce it. You get rid of all those variables. You get rid of all those questions and those doubts. You push them all to the side. And you own your success. You own that path to success. So with that, guys, thank you so much for joining us for The Ambition Show. I've been your host, Aaron Muhammad. And once again, drop a comment if you want to see that episode about influencer marketing. Check out the links in the description. Always leave a comment. Let me know if there's a particular episode topic you want to cover. Every episode and topic comes from this kind of stuff, from people leaving comments and people sharing what they're looking for. So if there's a particular episode, particular topic you want us to touch on, boom, we'll make it happen. Peace, best to you and your loved ones. I will see you. I'll see you around, or I'll hear you around, or anywho, take it easy, y'all. Once again, it's Aaron Muhammad. Thanks for watching The Ambition Show. Peace.